Another day. Another shipment of venom to send out via the ports. As the large barrels of serum are hoisted into a freighter, the masked brute known as Bane stops to survey the area. Was there an angle he'd missed? Was there a thread that could come loose? No. This job was planned perfectly. No chance at failure. So why was he filled with a cosmic sense of dread? It was then that the captain's voice began singing. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Absorbent and yellow and porous is he. If nautical nonsense be something you wish, then drop like a deck and flop like a fish. As SpongeBob SquarePants arrives on the scene, and with an order up, this battle is underway. It's the Master of Venom versus Muscle Bob Buff Pants. It's the Breaker of Batman versus the Cooker of Fries. It's Bane versus SpongeBob SquarePants today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comic, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stecanus. Ray, you know, some people say today's matchup makes no sense whatsoever. On one side of the coin, you have Bane, one of Batman's most dangerous enemies, and on the other side, you have SpongeBob SquarePants. How did this particular matchup happen? And more importantly, why does it need to happen?
I will answer that question first. This battle needs to happen because this battle, unlike maybe any other battle that we've done before, represents the two of us completely. You have me, the large, super intelligent, very, very powerful wrestler character, and then we have whatever it is you do, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Wait. Okay, so you know, for those who don't know, Ray was an amazing pro wrestler.
Very not famous.
Very not famous, but amazing nonetheless.
Very. Some would even say almighty.
Brent Pope actually gave a really great comparison in our season finale episode of season one, where, you know, he said I was quite muscular and what have you, and that you were not that way at all.
Well, I may have let myself go since my in-ring career ended.
Fair enough.
I really like chips.
That's, you know what? Yeah, I'd say, and other things too, I'd say. But who doesn't?
I mean, food is delicious. I don't know if you've heard. Spoiler alert for food, it's pretty good.
Insert ad for Hometown Buffet. Now,
I'm more of a Golden Corral fan.
Are
myself,
you sure? But they're both
when they started following me on Twitter, they had a fan for life.
Oh, absolutely. All right, now today's matchup, absolutely unconventional. It's going to take a judge who has that experience of doing things that are highly unconventional, someone who doesn't mind putting themselves in the view of the public in such a way that, hey, I'm unconventional, but I'm open, I am here.
I see where you're going with this.
You do. We brought in someone very special for today's matchup, making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's Bravo reality star from the show Stripped, podcaster and social media influencer. It's Allie Levine. Allie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm already cracking up inside, like listening to the way you guys are describing yourselves. And I just love how you said a hometown buffet. I mean, a buffet is a good thing, right?
It's the best thing.
It's where we first met.
It sounds like a match made in heaven. I mean, hey, listen, you guys know I'm pregnant with baby girl number two, and it's like I'm listening to you talk about food, and I'm like, oh, where are we going after this?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Again, spoiler alert, food is great.
It is, yeah. Especially when you're pregnant. It's amazing.
So let me ask you this, Allie. You were talking to us about your show Stripped, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think, you know, I was thinking, like, would I ever do that? And I just don't have the courage to actually do what you did. So my hat is off to you for that.
Or was I just insane? Everyone says this to me. Like, they'll interview me on the red carpet and be like, so how did you allow yourself to do that? And I'm like, well, honestly, I think in my mind, I thought like, oh, we're not really going to be naked. And then it was like, hey, strip down your clothes. And my husband stripped down super fast. If you watched the episode. And I stood there like taking like a piece of jewelry off and a ring off. And he's standing there holding, you know, over his crotch. And he's like, seriously? Like, let's go. And I'm like, Justin, I didn't expect you to strip down so quick. Like, give me a moment. And I remember just standing there like, oh my God. Yes, of course, they're professionals and they're turning around. But like, I'm actually freaking getting naked on national television.
So you're saying, okay, so just to recap, for those very few who don't know about Stripped, right? You, and I'm going to try to describe this as tastefully as possible.
Please do.
You and your husband in your place, all your stuff is removed. Furniture, clothing, TVs, computers,
picture frames, everything.
Your clothing is gone, and you had literally the floor and some water and not even your regular food, right?
No, you had, like those gross, no offense, but like MRE rations. I mean, good for them that they can eat them. Not something I personally want to stomach.
So military-based MRE is fantastic.
Yes, exactly.
To be fair, it's not like you're like the good people at MRE, we just lost a sponsorship. I think they are universally known as maybe not the best things for
right?
your tum-tum.
Yeah, well, and someone that like enjoys a buffet probably wouldn't want an MRE, you know, so.
Probably not.
Ray will actually eat whatever.
Oh, he's, okay.
He's I mean, maybe five or six MREs just to get the job done.
Yeah. My husband was totally fine with it. He's like opening it up and cracking it open. He's like, look, this even has like a faux milk in it. So it's like pretty decent. And I was like, ew, what do you mean? Like, this does not taste like cereal at all. So I had a very hard time. And then toilet paper, you know, was the other thing they gave us. Oh, thank you so much, Bravo.
Wow. I'm trying to figure out the budget for that show. Let's say
let's see,
$100 per episode we can spend. What is the thing that has the highest appeal? Nudity and toilet paper? We're in.
Yeah,
let's go.
Straight up, exactly.
If this is maybe an inappropriate time to make an announcement. I have an announcement to make for the people. If you're at Bravo listening, I'm ready for the next season of Stripped. Bring me on, coach.
Oh,
the world needs
go.
This body naked in front of you.
I'm well, here. I'm here
everybody's
for
been
it.
Clamoring.
I'll let them
if
know.
You've seen my social media, it's always Ray, please send nudes. And guys, I need you to stop. I need you to stop because I'm a happily married man, and you really got to write a check for that to happen. So, Bravo, I'm here for you. Let's do this.
I think you'd be great for that show. I mean, walking around naked in your house that already doesn't have a lot of stuff. Like, you live the Stripped lifestyle like every day anyway, the moment you close those doors.
I'm surprised I'm wearing clothes right now, to be honest with you.
I'm surprised and thankful. That's good. All right. So this is always funny banter, if you will, but we got to get to the show.
Let's do it.
I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing DC Comics, the PED user so buff, he makes Barry Bonds look like Steve Urkel, Bane. And representing Nickelodeon Cartoons, the sponge so absorbent, he had a hit put on him by the brawny paper towel guy, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well done, Ray. By the way, Steve Urkel, or the actor who plays Steve, he's
Jaleel
actually
White.
Yeah, he's in great shape.
He's in great shape.
Yeah.
But Steve Urkel, the character from the 1990 sitcom Family Matters, not in as good a shape.
As Bane?
As Bane.
On steroids.
Correct.
I'd agree with that. Okay, now before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Now, rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. You know, in comic books and animation, there's different versions of characters running around, so... Ray, which version of Bane are you using?
I mean, I'm using the comic book version of Bane. I'm going to stick a lot closer to the earlier Bane stuff because of many of the characters that I've done, Bane is one that has gone through a lot of levels and ups and downs and lefts and rights. And for the current iteration of Bane, as I understand it, doesn't even use Venom anymore unless he absolutely has to. And that's not fun. So I'm going to go with classic comic book Bane.
Okay, great. Before I tell you the version of SpongeBob, have you ever, I'm going to just put you on the spot, have you ever used anything like Venom, Ray, when you were a pro wrestler?
I think it's time to get to SpongeBob.
Fair enough. So the version of SpongeBob I'll be using will be the classic Nickelodeon cartoon version of SpongeBob, which I'm not sure if there's other versions of SpongeBob.
I'm surprised you didn't use the famed Japanese death battle version of... No, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
That would be a great version of SpongeBob.
I want it.
All right. Rule number four. The winner of the Who Would Win debate is whomever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. This includes completely destroying their opponent or removing them from the field of battle or restraining them or knocking them out. The Who Would Win battles are not necessarily death matches. Now, rule number five, the judge can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. That just means, Allie, you've got the power here. So you are in charge.
I mean, I love to hear that.
Fair enough. Rule number six, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are part of the specific character's continuity, or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. One-off examples of powers or abilities that were used only once in the character's history will not be allowed. And I'll call that out if Ray uses Bane that way, because I know Bane inside out, Ray.
Well, good, then we don't even need to do this battle, because you already know how it's going to go.
I do, but the fans need to hear how it, you know.
I guess. For the fans.
For the fans.
For the people.
And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by Who Would Win T-shirts, accept no imitations. Find the official Who Would Win shirts on Amazon by typing in hashtag Who Would Win. Ray, please give us the details on Bane.
Bane is a powerful supervillain who's created by Chuck Dixon, Doug Mensch, Graham Nolan, and Dennis O'Neill. He first appeared in Batman Vengeance of Bane number 1 in 1993. Bane is a hulking monster of a man both due to his intense physical training as well as his use of venom, a super steroid equivalent that he was experimented on with during his time in prison. Bane is both a master of raw strength and power, as well as a master tactician. He's typically one of Batman's rogues gallery, having faced off against the Caped Crusader as well as members of the Bat family time and time again. His look has changed a few times over the years, but he's best known for wearing a luchador mask in his wrestling singlet. IGN named Bane as the number 34 on the all-time comic book villains list. Fun fact, Bane's original henchmen were all named for bands of the 1960s. Yes, as a shout out to classic rock, the three inmates that helped Bane escape from his original prison were Trog, Zombie, and Bird. Of course, being a big time shout out to classic rock bands of the 60s, the Trogs, the Zombies, and the Birds. That is Bane.
Well done, Ray. Here are the details for SpongeBob SquarePants. I can't believe we're doing this. I just got to take a second. This is, we've done like Thanos versus Goku and some serious, but we're doing this, right? Right?
This is happening right now. Okay. I'm in the middle of it.
Okay, here we go. The details for SpongeBob SquarePants. Now, SpongeBob SquarePants is an American animated comedy television series created by marine science educator and animator Steven Hillenburg for Nickelodeon back in 1999. The series chronicles the adventures and endeavors of SpongeBob and his aquatic friends in the fictional underwater city of Bikini Bottom. SpongeBob SquarePants is an energetic and optimistic sea sponge who physically resembles a rectangular kitchen sponge. He lives in a submerged pineapple with his pet snail Gary, who meows like a cat, because why not? SpongeBob has a childlike enthusiasm for life, which carries over to his job as a fry cook at a fast food restaurant called the Krusty Krab. His greatest goal in life is to obtain a license to drive a boatmobile. His favorite pastimes include jellyfishing, which involves catching jellyfish with a net in a manner similar to butterfly catching, and blowing soap bubbles into elaborate shapes. Okay, this sounds like a perfect opponent for Bane, one of Batman's villains, by the way.
I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. But don't let SpongeBob's apparent childlike zest for life fool you. Underneath that smiling facade beats the heart of a noble hero, someone who's a true friend, and, according to my research, someone who quite possibly is one of the most powerful characters in all of animation. Ray, you're shaking your head, but you know I go there with my research.
Oh, I know you're going to try some nonsense, but I'm here to slap it down.
Fair enough. By the way, when I say most powerful characters in animation, I'm also including Japanese anime, believe it or not, Ray.
I believe it, but you're not right.
Oh, we'll see. And here's an interesting fact about SpongeBob. Did you know SpongeBob's dim-witted best friend Patrick, the starfish, was initially conceived as an angry bar owner? It's true. A starfish character first entered the picture while Hillenburg and Dryman were storyboarding the pilot. But before there was lovable but dim-witted Patrick Starr, the starfish in the pilot, the first actual story had Patrick as a character with a huge chip on his shoulder because he was pink, was a notorious bully, and owned a roadside bar, which, if you think about it, is a perfect character for a Nickelodeon kids show.
Yeah, I think I wish they would have gone with that.
I'm kind of wondering how things would have. Maybe they can do like an alternate reality show. Who knows? All right, and now you have the facts on both opponents. Allie, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, let's do this. This is exciting.
Cool. You're not questioning your agent right now. You're not saying,
I already did that when I first walked in. But fair enough. We're past that.
So we're already past. You're just
here. Yeah, we're just here. We're in it. And I'm like, all right, let's bring it on.
All right. You're invested. All right, Ray, hit us with point number one.
Point number one for Bane. Let's just talk a little bit about who this character is. Because when you really break it down, we have one character who's this super strong, super intelligent, hopped up on venom bruiser, and we have a sponge who lives at the bottom of the ocean. So I test alone, I should win this in a romp. So let's just talk about who Bane is as a person, and let's start laying the groundwork here. So first off, Bane was born in prison. His father was a revolutionary warrior in a South American country named Santa Prisca. Fictional, I'm assuming. I don't know my geography so well, but I'm assuming it's fictional.
And he escaped
the law, but his mother got captured while she was pregnant and then was forced to have her baby in prison. So Bane was forced to basically take on his father's sentence from birth. So despite being in solitary confinement at a very young age, I want to say somewhere along the lines of like 5-6 years old, he was put in general population with all of the murderers and terrible people that you would normally find in that type of prison. Bane did fine. He actually survived. He was menaced on his first day by a really bad guy, but he had people around him. The aforementioned Trog and Bird were there to help him, and Zombie. The three of them were able to kind of help him get along and not get crushed in prison. Bane turned around and showed that he wasn't just an ordinary kid, he was someone who could thrive in that type of a prison violent environment, to the point where, when he was 8 years old, he went back into the first guy who tried to mess with him on his first day in general population, and at the age of 8, he murdered that man with a shiv. A huge, hulking brute of a man, and Bane was just a mere 8-year-old kid. So this is a murderer. This is a person who at an early age was brought up in a very, very difficult environment and a very, very violent area, and he did just fine. SpongeBob lives in a pineapple at the bottom of the sea. So when it comes to, we'll just saying, going for it, I have to imagine Bane has no qualms about hurting SpongeBob. Who even knows what SpongeBob is doing? I'm sure James will tell us in just a little bit. So to move a little bit further, he's not just a raw power, though. He's not just a big, strong guy, even though that's how he appears with the luchador mask and the singlet and the big muscles. He actually has a genius-level intellect, to the point where Super Batman villain Ra's al Ghul said it's the greatest mind that he's ever, equal to the greatest mind he's ever known. Which means that a guy, and Ra's al Ghul is a character, is someone who has lived for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, keeps himself alive through his use of the Lazarus Pit. He's lived a really long time, and he says Bane is equal to the smartest people he's ever known, and he's known Batman. He's known all these DC characters, all these like superhero characters, all these genius intellects through his time in the shadow, you know, shadows of the world. Bane is the smartest guy he's ever known, which means when it comes down to not just fighting, but tactics and the ability to figure things out, because no doubt, no doubt at all, SpongeBob is going to be bringing some weird stuff to the table. I have no doubt about that. James is going to bring this. I don't know how, but he's going to do it. He's going to find a way. Bane is ready for dealing with that kind of a thing. The one other thing I'd like to mention right here is Bane, essentially, he's not necessarily a trained fighter per se, because he was in prison. He did get some training from the prisoners there. However, the thing that he did himself was he taught himself his own form of meditation, which is, I think, very, very important because it shows a mental acuity and a mental strength involved, that he could take the roughest situation possible. He was put in solitary confinement in a flooding jail cell that every single night filled up with water, with no food, nothing at all, and he was able to survive for an extended period of time just in that environment. You think the strip show was rough. This is maybe even one step further than that. No, I don't want to do that show. But Bane, you know, he ate the fish that came in from the ocean flooding the chamber. He was able to drink the water. He was able to survive. He was able to stay strong, and he did it through his use of meditation. So when SpongeBob does weird stuff, it's nothing that's going to throw Bane. It's nothing that's going to make him lose his mind. He's mentally focused. He's mentally trained. He beat Ra's al Ghul at chess once. Not a bad deal. He's a smart guy. So outside of the strength, I just want to say he's a mean guy from a mean place, and he's a genius. And he's got SpongeBob SquarePants right in his sight. He will tear him limb from limb. And that is my point number one.
Okay, so, you know, I get it. Prison life is hard. I went through something similar, Ollie, growing up to what Bane did. You know, are you familiar with Hebrew school? Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing as what Ray described, you know.
You were in a flooded room.
Well, you know, I had to do some crazy stuff. And Mrs. Finkelbaum, when she was serving, like, apples and honey for Sukkot, I'd rather have fish float in with a, you know, flooded cell. But anyway, so I understand the craziness that Bane has to, you know, had to put up with. I'm actually going to add something to your point.
Wow.
Bane is also one of the best fighters in DC Comics. He actually trained himself in martial arts. He created new martial arts styles while in prison. I mean, I love this character, and I'm really sad I'm going to have him lose to SpongeBob SquarePants.
To what? No, but let me just say, he's a lot like Bruce Lee in that regard. The thing that I really wanted to stay away from there is to talk about the training, because there's an old adage in wrestling, is that if you trained yourself, you didn't train.
Mm.
And so, as much as I know he created his own martial arts style, I did want to kind of like shy away from it, because if you teach yourself how to fight, you have nothing as a teacher.
Do you know that because you came from the wrestling world?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's because Ray thought he taught himself how to fight and quickly figured out that he was a bad teacher.
With actual wrestlers, and I found out I need training.
actually, that is a great point. Okay, I don't have much to rebut on that. Allie, any questions or thoughts on Ray's point number one?
No, I mean, at first it was just like, okay, he's mean, he's this, he's that. But I have to say, the whole meditation thing kind of got me. Like, that was very interesting, because I personally meditate, mm-hmm. and I see the power with that. And I feel like a lot of people are getting more into meditation nowadays. And I'm like, wow, okay, kind of makes sense why he did survive so much of his situation. Regardless, he came out pretty mean and terrible, but he does have meditation going for him.
Quick question. When did meditation turn into the term mindfulness? What was wrong with meditation?
I mean, in LA,
everyone's like, do you like mindfulness? Is that being polite?
It's
I don't know what that is.
I think like because meditation became such like a trending thing, like, you know, me being obviously starting that I was a celebrity, you know, wardrobe stylist and worked in fashion, like everything's trending. And I think people like once they kind of get sick of a trend, it's like, well, how do we keep this around but make it sound like fresh and new and exciting? So it's like mindfulness. It's the same freaking thing as meditation.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. Okay.
Well, it's sort of like when people talk, nobody ever says the term going viral anymore.
Right, totally.
Not a thing. If you say that, everybody goes, oh, you don't know what you're doing.
Right, right, yeah.
It's the same kind of thing.
Here. Exactly. It's just changing the verbiage. Like,
I was asked recently
like,
if someone said, do I still go on the web?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I'm like,
right.
No.
Do you still dial up online? Oh, honey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that person was Ray, by the way.
Right.
Okay, let me get to my point
number
one.
I needed the internet, James.
Yeah, that's... We all do. All right, let me get to my point number one. Now, this is where I kind of go and do a deep dive on SpongeBob. I discovered that SpongeBob may be one of the most powerful characters in all of animation, and Ray is shaking his head in disagreement already, but let me explain why. Now, throughout the series, SpongeBob has demonstrated some crazy abilities, powers, and has even demonstrated some magical talents as well. After watching a lot of episodes of SpongeBob, both, you know, with my kids and sometimes even just without them because I like watching it.
You need an escape, your parent.
I totally did. I'm drug-free, by the way, but SpongeBob helps me kind of go there mentally.
Understandable.
Sure. Now, SpongeBob has super strength. He was able to lift objects much larger than him, including large humans. He's got super speed. SpongeBob was able to move from one area of Bikini Bottom to another in less than a second. Less than a second, Ray. That puts him in flash class in terms of speed. He's got super healing and regeneration. Because, you know, SpongeBob's been flattened, stepped on, frozen, run over, set on fire, ripped to pieces, taken insane falls from great heights, been in explosions, and within less than a second, he's absolutely fine and back to looking normal, absolutely. That may be faster than Deadpool's healing factor, Ray Stakanis. He can shapeshift and take on the appearance of other objects and characters when need be. He can teleport. As seen in the episode called, this is how much research I do. I know the name of
it. I see it. You guys are like dedicated.
Yeah. It's some people say it's a good thing. Our wives say it's not. You know.
They are in unison on that.
All have our vices, right?
So, oh, totally. You know. Totally. So again, he could teleport. As seen in the episode called The Wreck of the Mauna Loa, SpongeBob was chasing Patrick in a game of tag. Patrick was looking back at SpongeBob in the other direction when he imminently bumped into SpongeBob, who was all of a sudden in front of him. That's teleportation, Ray, right then and there. SpongeBob also has super endurance, as evidenced by the many times he's seen doing something or other. And then we hear the caption, you know, that French accent, 3 days later, you know, and he's still doing it. But it gets better. Yeah, Ray, you're liking this so far, aren't you?
Okay. He's biting his nails.
Yeah, you know, he's crazy. SpongeBob has the ability to create objects from out of thin air. You see him pull out mirrors, cars, animals, nets, clothing, or his magical spatula that he uses to flip burgers. You name it, and he somehow pulled out all of these objects from nowhere and then had them at his disposal. As strong, durable, and powerful as Bane is, he just doesn't have anywhere near the powers and abilities that SpongeBob has. That's my point number one.
And fantastic point number one. See, this is the weirdness that I was expecting you to go with. And the very strong endurance and the very strong toughness, being that he is a Nickelodeon, you could even argue a Nick Jr. type of character, means that, you know, you're going to be able to hit him on the head with an anvil like a Looney Tune, and he's going to be able to snap back very, very quickly. He is a sponge, after all. For gosh sakes.
That's true. I will, in a next point, kind of demonstrate how, as much of this is a kid's cartoon, there's a lot of nods to adults, both in humor and craziness that happens. There's deaths that occur within the show that are sometimes really graphic. Again, I had to watch way too much SpongeBob to figure this out. But yeah, again, it's a kid's show, but there's a lot that he does that will apply to this fight.
And that's fine. I guess I would just question what a magic spatula, exactly how that's going to help him against somebody like Bane ripping him limb from limb. And in fact, the central positing of my entire argument today, and what I will keep referring to over and over again, is in the rules of a who would win battle. You win the fight by hitting your opponent and being able to walk away safely. I can't imagine at any point in this fight, Bane will not be able to just walk away safely. I just don't see how SpongeBob is going to actually damage him in any meaningful way, to leave him unconscious, to leave him tied up, to leave him what have you. And I'm sure James, he's got two more points to go, so I'm just feeding this fire right now. But when you compare the two characters side by side, SpongeBob is what, 6 inches tall? A foot tall?
Correct.
He's not very big. Bane is what, 6'6"?
6'8".
At least, yeah, exactly. We have a huge size disparity. We have a one very violent person against a weirdo who works in a fast food restaurant.
Bane, wait, are you describing you and I, or are you describing
I didn't want it to come to this, but yes.
Okay, got it.
And so I guess I just don't see a way that Bane can't walk away safely whenever the heck he wants to. That's where I will leave that.
Okay, any thoughts on this?
It's so interesting because, honestly, my mind was so made up on Bane. But then you talking about, like, the how he's, like, thrown buildings and he's made magic happen. It's like, okay, meditation can take you so far.
Thank you.
But magic is a different story.
It is.
Exactly, exactly.
So, I don't know. That's quite perplexing because I'm like, okay, well, I agree. Like, when I think about, like, Bane and SpongeBob and I, like, think about him visually in my head, like, okay, Sponge, he is, like, this little, you know, square thing. Like you're kind of like, okay, what is he going to be able to do? Bane's, like, this massive muscle guy, you know, clearly is kick some ass. But then it's like, oh, but SpongeBob is making magic and he's throwing buildings and he's able to, you know, squash things and then he can be squashed and stand right back up. I don't know. This is interesting.
By the way, it's going to get better.
Oh, okay.
So, Ray, hit us with point number two.
Point number two. Now, I've talked about the upbringing and the intellect of Bane. Okay. Now I'm going to talk a little bit more about his physicality because this is where he is ridiculously more powerful than SpongeBob SquarePants. First off, he is ability to take damage. Bane is a brute. However, he has taken some good hits. At one point, Batman was imbued with Superman's powers. And I don't think, I think everybody in the world knows who those two people are, James Gav. So you don't need the internet for that one. But it probably helps.
Batman, people still may Google.
That is correct. Batman was infused with Superman's powers, and Bane fought Batman thinking, okay, it's Batman. I know what I'm getting here. I'm going to go fight this guy. He had no idea he had those powers. And Batman hit Bane so hard that he basically flew through the air. He was not prepared for that kind of damage. And Bane survived it. He was hurt, but he was able to get away with it. And Superman is known as one of the strongest characters ever, period.
For sure. Yeah.
You fight Superman, you're probably not going to have a very good day if you get another one afterwards.
Right.
He was able to tank a shot from that level of strength. Additionally, there's a character named Azrael. And Azrael is kind of a crazy person who kind of idolized Batman. And when Batman decided, I think he was injured at the time, and he needed somebody to put on the Batman costume and be Batman, because you can't just have no Batman. And he asked Azrael, so it's his hand-picked, chosen person for a couple of years, I think it was, to become the Batman. And Bane fought that character and defeated him multiple times. And Azrael is crazy because he would kill people. Batman doesn't kill people, but Azrael does, so it was kind of a weird version of Batman. And he beat him twice. So he keeps beating him from pillar to post every single time that they meet. Additionally, here are some feats as far as speed and strength goes. A police officer held a gun on Bane, and Bane moved so fast he was able to hit that officer before he could pull the trigger. And that's a crazy amount of fast. Some people can dodge bullets, but when you're so fast, you don't even need to dodge bullets because they don't get fired. That is a speed feat all to itself. There was a guy he was fighting who was wearing an exosuit, and at that point he ripped the guy's arm off and then beat him with it. Well, he was wearing a super powerful, like, power suit, basically. Bane fights. That's what I'm really trying to get at here. Bane is a brawler. Bane is a guy who will tear you limb from limb, literally. And if he gets in there with SpongeBob SquarePants, a guy who no doubt can absolutely take some hits and keep on going, he's going to get torn to pieces over and over and over again. And it's cute because SpongeBob, you know, the little teleportation trick, what have you, that's only going to get you so far. That's a lot of evasion, and that's fine. I don't think SpongeBob can evade everything, especially a guy who's so quick that he can grab you before you can even pull the trigger. And that is my point number two.
Okay, I have a couple of questions, and I'm going to root these in reality, okay? If Bane were in Bikini Bottom, Ray, would Bane be able to go from one end of the city to another within a second at the same rate of speed, you know, that SpongeBob has done many times? Just a yes or no answer. Is Bane able to move that fast?
Well, Bane obviously can't breathe underwater, so this
Let's
is kind of a weird point.
Let's
if
say
Bane
he could,
do that?
And he could move just as fast as he could underwater as he does on land.
You know, if he trained well enough, I believe that Bane could pull off any feat of super speed or strength.
So he can. All right, second question. When Bane chases after Batman, because he has, can he teleport from behind Batman and magically appear in front of Batman without Batman noticing? Yes or no?
I have not seen him to have the teleportation skill, even at a small scale.
Fantastic. So he doesn't have the abilities that would help him in a fight the same way SpongeBob... Can't believe I'm saying all this, by the way. Yeah, SpongeBob does.
I can.
Okay. All right, let me get some... All right, let me get to my point number one, because this is going to explain a lot. You talked about Bane's fighting skill, and he likes to fight a lot. That's cool. But my point number two, I'm going to start this off with just, you know, the title of this would be SpongeBob's Capacity for Violence and His Fighting Skill, okay? Let's talk about his capacity for violence first. I know it's a kid's show, but there's a lot going on here. Sure, SpongeBob may appear to be a naive kid, but again, don't be fooled. When it's time to call in the violence, he can more than deliver. In a disagreement with his friend Patrick over who got to be, they're doing a role-playing game, and they both wanted to be the character called Cowboy Dirty Dan in a game, SpongeBob, for no reason, took out what looked like a 10-foot-long, 300-pound shovel made out of ice, from out of nowhere, mind you, and started smashing Patrick over the head with it so hard that Patrick's head literally got flattened, and Patrick was okay a second later, thank God. But it was just like, why are you doing this for no reason? There was no reason to go to that level of violence, but he did that within a second. They weren't even arguing. They were just saying, I like to be Cowboy Dan, Dirty Dan. No, I want to be. It's the same argument you and I have had
like
many
times. I feel like I saw this episode, which is like so ridiculous that I'm admitting that, but I feel like I saw this
it's
episode.
It's an iconic episode, right? Okay. We've all seen The Godfather, a number of Meryl Streep movies,
yeah,
and we've
sure.
all seen this episode of SpongeBob.
Okay.
In a snowball fight with Patrick, SpongeBob, for some reason, puts a funnel on top of his head into one of the holes on his head, dumps it filled with snow, or puts a ton of snow into it, and starts shooting snowballs machine gun style out of the holes of his sponge face. And the thing is, he's not just shooting them at Patrick. He waited till Patrick was talking and started shooting them into his mouth. Right? And Patrick's, like, eyes are, like, getting, like, dark. Like, he's gotten a black eye. He's getting beat up. He's like, and he's, like, almost, like, throwing up and everything. And then it stops. And Patrick's, like, swallows the snow. He's, like, oh, that was horrible. And then all of a sudden, more snowballs start coming at him right in his mouth and just absolutely obliterates Patrick. That is violent behavior. That is crazy. There's something wrong with SpongeBob. But whatever that wrong thing is, it's actually going to help him in this fight against Bane. And that doesn't even count the time SpongeBob grabbed Mr. Krabs by the throat, but with one hand lifted him in the air. Why? Because Mr. Krabs called SpongeBob a liar when SpongeBob tried to give him back a dime that wasn't the original dime he borrowed from Mr. Krabs, right? So Mr. Krabs said, SpongeBob said, hey, can I borrow a dime? Mr. Krabs was like, here's a dime. And SpongeBob was like, well, here's the dime back. Mr. Krabs says, that's not the dime you gave me, which is really weird. And then SpongeBob's like, that's cute, rips him by the throat, holds him in the air, and starts getting super angry with him, slams him on the ground. That's his boss. That is a hazardous workplace, and SpongeBob made it that way. Now, on top of this crazy capacity for violence, SpongeBob also has some of the best, most effective, and unconventional fighting skills of all time. In a battle with a fully armored Sandy the Squirrel, and remember, who's Sandy the Squirrel? The best fighter by far in Bikini Bottom, like by far, or so you think. SpongeBob attacked during the fight and defeated Sandy within seconds. You know, again, Sandy Squirrel may be one of the best fighters and martial artists ever to appear on Nickelodeon, right? Which says a lot because they had Avatar, the Airbender. I mean, there's some good martial arts stuff going on, Power Rangers, all that kind of stuff. So the fight was so one-sided and decisive that Sandy Squirrel stated that she had never seen any fighting style like SpongeBob's ever before. And by the way, she's the master of what she calls karate, right? Which is horrible. During that fight, SpongeBob switched his arms with his legs and started hitting Sandy with what looked like upper body kicks, kind of. Sandy fights back and throws SpongeBob so hard against a boulder that his arms and legs fell off. SpongeBob simply smiles and, using his magic powers of some sort, reassembles his arms and his legs in the right position and continues fighting. Sandy then grabs SpongeBob from behind again and starts rubbing him up and down, like a sponge on a rock, and churns him into a cloud of yellow mist with eyes. SpongeBob reassembles his molecules, mind you, somehow, and perfectly back in his original body beside the cloud, and commanded the cloud of yellow mist to engulf Sandy. Sandy breathed in the mist and started to cough uncontrollably. Seizing the opportunity, SpongeBob unleashed his deadliest attack, his patented karate chop, and hit Sandy once, thereby completely defeating her, where she actually died. Died, Ray. They actually showed her and then put a picture of a dead squirrel with X's on its eyes, like a what looked like a real squirrel, over that picture. Dead. SpongeBob killed Sandy the Squirrel, Ray. Look, Bane is impressive, and I'm a huge fan of the character, but he's the most impressive when he has time to plan an attack. Like, Bane loves prep time, right? If he has prep time, very few, if any, people can really stop him. And that's how he beat Batman the first time. But in a Who Would Win fight, it's a random encounter. There's no time for preparation. You have no idea who you're about to face. And that's going to be a problem for him. So let's just circle back for a quick second. Who is Batman's greatest foe? The Joker.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Is that too easy to answer?
No,
Joker,
no,
right?
It's almost too obvious. Too obvious, right? But here's the thing. It's a Joker, and he's much more dangerous. And Batman considers him much more dangerous. Why? because the Joker, just like SpongeBob, is unpredictable and has a huge capacity for violence.
And he's crazy.
And he's crazy, exactly. So SpongeBob is insane. So the real difference between the Joker and SpongeBob is the fact that the Joker doesn't actually have any of SpongeBob's extra superpowers. Put Bane against the Joker with superpowers, and just like with SpongeBob, Bane wouldn't stand a chance. That's my point number two. If you want to tell me I won, feel free. We can end this episode right now.
I don't think that's what's going to happen. Now, you're saying a lot of really why. He's making a lot of assumptions. He's taking this maybe way further than it needs to be. When he talks about the toughest fighter in Bikini Bottom, that's like saying it's the roughest kid in the kindergarten class. We are talking about two different levels here. We're talking about 6-inch 1-foot tall characters who are in obviously a wacky kids cartoon. And I would say of all the times when SpongeBob is hitting Patrick with the giant ice club or what have you, is Patrick okay afterwards?
Thanks to his magical powers, sure.
So the fact he's not even necessarily hurting most of the people in his own universe, except for comedic effect, when they thought murdering somebody would be hilarious, they were right. I would just say that maybe he's not necessarily doing as much in power as James would like you to believe that he is, because so many times these extreme acts of violence happen on the show and everybody is immediately fine again afterwards. So maybe these are just comedic attacks and not necessarily damaging attacks. Again, toughest kid in kindergarten. That's what we're looking at right here. We're talking about a trained mixed martial artist, you know, UFC style fighter against the toughest kid in kindergarten who's a little weird. I gotta give it to the MMA fighter every single time.
This all depends on what kindergarten you went to, right?
I mean, granted, I didn't go to prison kindergarten like Bane did,
but... or like Allie and I did, right? Did you go to Hebrew school?
I didn't, but I had friends that did.
Okay, so
I know what you're talking about. I've seen my cousin, yes, I've seen the stories, I've been around it. Yeah, I've been close enough to it.
Do you see the death that's in their eyes when they talk about it and how their mind just tries to escape? Okay,
yeah.
All right, so you've heard 2 points so far from Ray. You've heard 2 insanely great points from me, and I'm going to put the emphasis on insanely. We're at what's called the turning point, where you have to figure out right now at this moment who's ahead in this battle and what does the other character have to do to pull out the victory.
Okay, so I will be honest. When we were giving your first point, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to give it to SpongeBob because magic really does overplay, in my mind, anything, okay? Like, I'm a mom, about to be a mom of 2. If I could do magic and so many things in my home, like, so much more could happen than if I'm just meditating and trying to calm myself down from my screaming child. So I got to go with magic, okay? But then round 2 makes a really good point with Bane when he says, you know, not just the fact that he is like a killing machine and he's big. I don't really care about the big small thing, but when he was saying that he actually like annihilates and kills and destroys, whereas it is interesting when you think about with SpongeBob, yes, he definitely does have a major anger problem. Yes, he definitely does come through and, you know, he killed the squirrel, but the other, you know, characters, I didn't think about that. They actually do come back. And maybe that is because that is Bikini Bottom and they come back, you know, around. But knowing that, I'm like, okay, but Bane has actually taken out several characters. So in that point, I'm like, okay, I have to give it to Bane.
Okay, so there's 1 point each. Who do you think is ahead?
I think I would have to say, right now, I'd have to say Bane, but SpongeBob is very, very close.
Ooh, okay, I'm liking where this is going, Ray.
I'm honestly surprised it's as close as it is, but I knew that you would be bringing some real weirdness, and you have not disappointed me at all.
Oh, it's going to get so much weirder, Ray.
Oh, it's
I mean, I'm being educated on a whole nother level that I just don't even know. I'm like, all right, I'm just, like, in this. I'm in Bikini Bottom. I am in that prison in the water. I mean, like, I'm just here.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be teaching a class at Phoenix University, one of the most prestigious
Perfect.
Online universities,
yes.
by the way,
yeah.
on very comic book nonsense. All right, yeah. Ray, hit us with your ultimate point number 3.
My point number 3 is a little bit of a two-parter. I've got 2 things I want to bring to the table and make sure we mention. First off, I've been kind of like I've been downplaying it a little bit, but his
You've
use
been tibby,
of
tibby-toeing?
Venom. Venom is a very, very powerful super steroid that after he had killed his 30th person in prison and the prison guards were like, we don't know what to do with this guy, let's use him for a military experiment. And so they kidnapped him, they took him in, and then they pumped all this Venom stuff all the way through his entire body. This is a process that has killed every other person who came before that, to my understanding. And he's not only survived it, he was rough at first, he survived it, he ends up thriving on it, he becomes a whole other level. So it's one thing to just be a super strong character who works out a lot and is a good martial artist. It's another thing to be so chemically enhanced. And later versions of Bane actually had giant, like, green tubes that would come into his back and go into the base of his neck to constantly, whenever he wants, to get that little burst of juice. So in the middle of a fight with SpongeBob, if SpongeBob does something a little bit weird, it even gets a hit on Bane, he can just go ahead and just turn himself up to 11 anytime that he wants to and kind of go to that superhero level, which is much, much higher than what I've kind of been positing up to this point. So as strong as you think he actually is, oh, I duped you, he's much, much stronger whenever he needs to be. The second thing I want to talk about is major victories, because Bane has one major victory that SpongeBob cannot possibly contend with, and that is he is the man who broke the bat. Bane came up with a beautiful plan where he released all of the villains that are in, I believe, Arkham Asylum, so the Joker and all that whole crowd. He got them all out onto the streets, creating this story arc where it's called Nightfall, where Batman had to get all the criminals and get them back in. And it took Batman, what, like 3 months to get all of these criminals back in again? So at the end of this day-to-day ordeal of facing all of his absolute worst nemesises of all different shades and styles, Bane figured out who Batman was. He figured out he was Bruce Wayne. So at the end of this 3-month ordeal, Batman goes home to finally get rest. And who's there waiting for him? The smartest man in the world, Bane. And he says, I'm ready to fight you now. And he not only defeated Batman, he lifted him up in the air and broke him over his knee to the point where he shattered his back. He shattered his back. Batman, one of the greatest fighters, one of the most important comic book characters of all time, Bane shows up and in his first story arc, broke the man's back in one of the most iconic scenes in comic book history. SpongeBob never beat Batman. SpongeBob never took Batman out of the game for a tremendous period of time. Never even a character like a Batman, near as I can tell. James, I'm sure you'll tell me in a sec. But Bane, on his first outing, broke the bat. And that's my point number three.
All right.
So predictable. So predictable.
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming.
How do you not talk about that?
That's true.
I mean, that is pretty intense. Yeah.
That is.
Anybody that thinks, I mean, even me, who's like, you know, not as heavily into this world as you guys are, you guys know like all your points. I know my basics, but it's like everyone knows Batman is like the be all end all. So okay.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask Ray a quick question. So, you know, this is a random encounter.
Yeah.
Right? With no
for sure
time to prepare or anything like that. No knowledge of your opponent.
Right.
How long did Bane need to prepare for that whole, by the way, brilliant and beautiful plan?
It is a plan that came together over a long period of time. I believe it took him a year to figure out the entire thing, and then 3 months of the actual plan being enacted.
So 15 months sounds like
so longer than being pregnant.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But in perspective, okay.
Exactly. Is Bane tough enough to be pregnant? I don't know. But here's the thing. He took 15 months to figure that out. This is a random encounter. He doesn't have time to plan. I wish he did, because this would be a fantastic plan. In fact, I'll even say this. If Bane had time to plan this attack, 15 months to figure out how to beat SpongeBob, he'd do it. He'd be the only person to actually do it. But he doesn't have that time.
There's one thing I would say in this, and this goes back to my point number one when I talked about Ra's al Ghul, the great thinker, the great mind, the Lazarus Pit guy. When Bane beat him at chess, he didn't need time to prepare for that chess match. He showed up because he's smart. So I would think, yes, if James, if you were talking about a standard brute who needed time to prepare. But I think Bane is so good in the moment, and he's such a great strategist and tactician because of his very high intellect, that he, while yes, time to prepare makes him an absolute murderer, an absolute killer, he can also improvise and figure out stuff in the moment. That's who he is as well.
Okay, I do agree he's a great improviser, I should say. But let me ask a couple of questions, or make one more fact, actually. Venom, the steroid, only lasts so long. Right, that's the problem.
I don't know much about Venom, so I was actually going to ask, like, okay, so obviously it's a superpower, but like, how long does this superpower last?
It only lasts so long, and the other thing is too, the more you're active while you're using it, the shorter you can burn through it very quickly.
This is correct, but the iterations of Bane, and the one that I'm talking about is the guy with the tubes on his back. So he actually comes around with a supply of Venom on him, so that way he can administer it to him as he needs it during a battle.
True, but it's a closed amount. It's a good amount, but it's a close amount,
if
correct?
If somehow this battle ends, it goes for 24 straight hours, or as you said, 3 days later, I don't think it's going to get that far.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if it was a battle of deep endurance, he would at some point need to go refill up his venom. I have to believe it will be a fraction of that time.
Okay, so let me also say one more thing. Sure, SpongeBob didn't break the bat, so to speak, but let me turn the tables on you. Has Bane ever rode the Hasselhoff?
He has never hassled the Hoff.
Okay.
To my knowledge. I'm sure somebody out there might read a comic and be like, remember that time he hassled the Hoff? You guys, I apologize. I didn't read that.
I'm actually speaking to all SpongeBob fans who will, I'm pretty sure, be happy I'm doing this. That was a major plot point in the SpongeBob movie. I think it was back in 2004.
Hold on. Before you go any further with that, he did say the version of the character he was using was the Nickelodeon animated TV version. Any feats from the movie I do not think should be allowed.
They count as canon. Thank you very much.
I'm just putting the doubt in your mind. Understand this.
All right. Let me get to my point number three, where I'm going to mention all of this, okay? And if you want nonsense, I'm going to give it to you. But it's so crazy that it works.
I don't want nonsense?
I mean, I'm here for it.
Okay.
Thank you. It's all about the judges, right?
You will outvote me.
Okay. Point number three, I'm going to call it as it is. SpongeBob is a goofy goober. What is that? That's the term he called himself when he turned into the most powerful version of himself in the SpongeBob movie that I'm referencing. Okay. Here's the thing. When you threaten SpongeBob SquarePants in any meaningful way, especially if you're a villain, he's going to, and his back's against the wall, he's going to go completely, we call it Super Saiyan. It's like a Japanese anime term where he just goes insanely powerful and hits new levels of crazy power. SpongeBob has a common theme throughout his show, right? Namely that he's fiercely loyal, he's a great friend, and will absolutely take a stand against evil and those who threaten him, especially when, again, if his back's against the wall, he's going there. And when he does that, his already impressive level and set of powers go through the roof. And again, this is best demonstrated by the classic, I call it the classic and iconic cinema masterpiece known as the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. In this movie, SpongeBob and Patrick embark on a quest to clear the name of Mr. Krabs, the owner of the Krusty Krab restaurant, who has been framed for stealing the crown of ocean deity King Neptune by Plankton, you know, the rival restaurant owner. During that journey, Plankton puts mind control helmets on all of the residents of Bikini. I can't believe I actually watched this movie this many times. No, it's a Bikini Bottom, including King Neptune. SpongeBob arrives back in Bikini Bottom with a crown, only to be surrounded by the mindless citizens with the helmets on their head who are ordered to kill him. So what does he do? Well, he gives this really cool speech about how even though he's just a kid, he still got the crown back and rode the Hasselhoff. That was David Hasselhoff,
yes,
who said, hey, I'll take you from one spot to another really fast. So he rode the Hasselhoff. That was a thing of legend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where your mind was going with that when you were laughing,
right? I've styled the Hoff family, so I get it.
You understand, right?
Yeah,
it's
understand.
The Hasselhoff.
Yes.
Okay. And just as everyone's closing into him, he shouts that he's a goofy goober and then reveals his true powers in the form of a song. Because why not? And as SpongeBob is singing the Goofy Goober song, which sounded really similar to Twisted Sister's song, I Wanna Rock, he starts to manifest into some type of ultimate wizard, all-powerful being, and does this, okay? He shoots off a blast of energy that sends Plankton flying through the air and through a wall. He somehow teleports to a brick wall, creates dynamite out of thin air, blows up the wall, and frees toys, animated toys, from jail. He didn't need to do it. He just did it. While breakdancing, the mind-controlled zombies attack him, right? They all kind of encircle him. He then transforms into a literal guitar wizard, uses an energy blast to make everyone fly away from him, rises up into the air, and while playing the guitar, shoots out energy bursts that remove the mind-controlled buckets from everyone. In one final decisive move, SpongeBob, / the guitar wizard, shoots a blast of energy into the sky, which then travels across Bikini Bottom and frees everyone, including King Neptune. So who in the DC universe, like, you know, where Batman and Bane are, could mimic the powers and complete insanity of SpongeBob? There's one person I can think of. It's Superman's longtime foe. It's a guy named, he's this character from the fifth dimension who's got, like, godlike powers, called Mr. Mixes Pedelec. You remember that?
Yeah,
remember that name?
You're not pronouncing it right, but I'm not going to try.
That's how it's pronounced in the Superman cartoon.
Is that
series.
Right?
Yeah.
My goodness. Mr. Miziplex?
That's what I thought. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. The small little guy.
I'll take your guys' word
for
it.
He's like, have you ever seen the Flintstones? He's basically the Great Gazoo, that little green alien dude.
That's right. Exactly.
All right.
Now, he's got the power to warp reality. It's crazy. So how does Bane do against someone who can somehow warp reality and has a very violent streak? Not well, Raisa Canis, not well at all. So with SpongeBob's superpowers, it's not hard to see why SpongeBob SquarePants wins this fight. He's got his penchant for violence, martial arts, fighting ability, as well as the fact that when needed, he can tap into crazy superpowers on top of his teleportation, super strength, super speed, and everything else, and become a magical wizard that can free an entire town from the spell of mind control, zombie bucket things, There's no way he loses his fight to Bane, I'm sorry to say. And that is my point number three.
Okay, now I've got a lot I need to say about that, because that is maybe taking it 20 steps too far.
James, you knew I would.
You usually toe the line, maybe go a step over. You just raced past it and into the stadium next door. You are not even trying to stay in reality. So a couple of things I'll say right here.
Okay.
Okay. First off, James, he did that in the movie. Did he go into a godlike? Did he ever do that in the TV show?
Yes.
When did he do it in the TV show?
A number of times where he had to all of a sudden transform himself into a larger being with powers.
Where he saved the entire town and shredded the guitar and rode the Hoff?
He only rode the Hoff in the movie once, but how many times did Bane break the bat?
He broke the bat several times.
Once.
Because he broke his back right there.
Yeah.
And then could just push on him, do it a second time right there.
But he didn't. He just broke it once.
So what I would say to that is a couple of things are very wrong with those statements. One is the feats he's describing, riding the Hoff. If you look at the rules of a who would win battle, one time uses of powers are not to be counted. So riding the Hoff is a very strange and unique power, but if he only did it one time, and he did it in the movie, James is trying to argue the TV version, which is what he did say himself earlier. I hate to use your own words against you, James, and make you stick to the rules of the game, but I will do so in this particular case. I do not think movie feats should count. Even if they do, that's a one-time feat. Now, Bane broke the bat. Yes, he only did that to Batman once, but he's done that to people all over the place. So it's not like that one time he figured out how to crush a spine. That is a thing that Bane does all the time. And the last point I just want to make here about everything with SpongeBob, and I've been sandbagging this point because I wanted to wait till the very end because I'm a terrible, terrible, sneaky competitor like that. The most famous meme out there, you know, the memes of SpongeBob, is when he creates the rainbow and he talks about use your imagination. I would posit that much of the violence that's done in SpongeBob, because of the fact that it doesn't seem to have any real world consequences, is a product of his imagination, and that it's not actually happening. Is that when he goes to godlike proportions, as James said, and David Hasselhoff is appearing and floating around, that's a little weird, isn't it? Possible that he's imagining that the entire time, what with him being a character focused around imagination. So if we talk about who SpongeBob thinks he is, if we talk about who SpongeBob wishes he is, maybe he could do all those things. Maybe he could get a win against Bane. But the reality of the situation is these are childlike characters playing imagination games and aren't actually able to do a lot of the things that James claims that they can do. You have to at least consider the fact that things that crazy shouldn't happen. That's my counterpoint.
So you're saying SpongeBob is somehow imagining all the stuff he's doing, and while he's imagining all the stuff he's doing, he's also playing games using his imagination. This is like Inception a little bit, like a dream within a dream.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're
totally
saying, like, so no, I'm going to disagree with
you. I feel
you.
Like I'm like back when I actually like tried drugs back in the day.
Right, exactly, right?
James, I don't expect you to agree with this point. I just want it to be said, this is the most famous thing that we know about SpongeBob is imagination.
I will say one last thing, because I want to get your decision on this. Riding the Hoff wasn't a superpower, and it was more a demonstration of what SpongeBob could do. But, or his, like, what he was able to achieve.
But, that's fine.
Well, okay. Flexing himself.
But if I'm not pushing back against that, I'm not doing a good job.
That's true. All right, now, you've heard, Ali, I called you Ali.
Ali has power, right?
That's right. Ali, you've heard both sides of the equation here. It's time for you, as the wise judge that you are, give us your decision, take us through your process. Who wins this battle?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I honestly did not expect this to get so intense, especially being someone who's, you know, sitting here, like, I really don't know these, you know, characters through and through like you guys do. Clearly you've like studied them day and night and maybe even taken it in, you know, the bathtub with you and God knows where else. So, you know, I'm just like getting the little pieces here. But like I said, you know, in the beginning, I first was like, all right, I got to give it to SpongeBob with the magic and all of that, regardless of the strength and the meditation. I felt like, you know, magic, like that's just something different. But then going into round two and hearing more about Bane and kind of his strength and everything he's endured, breaking the bat, all of that, I was like, all right, I got to give it back to Bane. Like that's a lot of strength. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of endurance. Like that's something to talk about. However, I didn't expect this, but I have to say at the last bit, I am leaning towards SpongeBob because at the end of the day, magic, insanity, you know, things that whether they are real or maybe not real, they are going to take out someone who, even if he is the biggest brute of all and has crazy strength and venom and all of that, I mean, those kinds of things, he might get tired, but even though he's super strength, SpongeBob is so freaking nuts. I actually honestly probably won't watch SpongeBob anymore. I mean, he's so, I'm like, is this really a children's show? Like, he is so crazy. He is so insane. What is like that one friend, right? When you're like around someone or even myself when being a new mom, people be like, oh, I don't want to be around her. She's insane right now.
You're that person?
Yeah, I can be that person. So, you know, it's like you can snap and it's like, okay, I feel like when you look at someone, you go, their strength versus their insanity. Who are you actually going to be more afraid of at the end of the day? You're going to be afraid of the person who's insane because you never know what the hell they're going to do. Whereas someone who has the strength, okay, yeah, don't get me wrong. He can probably kick his ass all day long. But is he going to be as insane as SpongeBob would? I don't know.
So give us the official. Who wins this battle?
I have
between
to say,
Bane and SpongeBob, it's...
I have to say, I am shocked to say it is SpongeBob on clearly on insanity, I have to say.
Thank you very much.
So a character
and
who...
like by a point, by the way. Like if you look at my scores, well, gosh, like they really
so.
Went they really went head to head.
I love your explanation for
thank
that.
Thank you. I mean, listen, I was even trying to get in my head going like who's cooler looking, the fashion side of me, the aesthetic, like going back and forth every which way. And I'm just like, listen, at the end of the day, someone is insane. Oh, watch out.
You know what's crazy is that if you know, talk to both of us for a while, just personality wise, I'm more like Bane. And even though I had this crazy stuff like SpongeBob, and Ray is more like SpongeBob, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was role reversal. With that being said, how do you feel right now, Ray?
Well, I mean, obviously, that was a terrible decision. I mean, and thank you for coming on the show, and I wish
like,
you all the success.
You won't be invited back.
You said in your final statement, it was, we don't even know if SpongeBob has even done the things or he's imagined them. Also, yes, Bane could probably beat him in a fight. So that's why I'm going with SpongeBob. It just doesn't make any sense. Much like the world of SpongeBob SquarePants, that decision was erratic and all over the place. Well, I mean, James, this is not, and here's the deal. I'm starting to get used to it, that when James takes Scooby-Doo.
We did Scooby-Doo versus Michael Myers.
Oh,
I have Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
And somehow he argued that Scooby-Doo could ride a jackhammer up a wall and ceiling, land on Michael Myers, the psycho killer from Halloween.
There's a great documentary called Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yes.
It's on Netflix, yeah. I believe, yes. Where uh-huh. Scooby-Doo actually yeah. did that, and they yes. talked about how he wrote a jacket.
So
sorry, go ahead.
My point is, I should just be used to it by now, that the less sense a point makes, the more the judge will identify with it and understand it. Thank you for your time.
I
am ready
to move
on.
We do live in La La Land, so
thank you. Thank
I mean,
you.
So I feel like there's got to be a little, I mean, I'm not from California, but you know, I've been here for like almost 10 years, so I'm kind of drinking that crazy Kool-Aid. So
based
it's like the
on
insanity.
That decision.
Yes.
You're an LA person now. I will go
all
ahead
right.
and
I mean,
I will
fair,
give you the
guess.
Card. That's fair.
But I think you're an LA person because of the coolness that you brought to the show and the wisdom
thank
to
you.
See.
I mean,
the
I am
logic
a mom now, right? So there's some wisdom about me.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah.
But I also appreciate that through this show, you have now learned not to show your kids SpongeBob SquarePants.
I mean, truly, I'm like, wow, I used to think that was such a kiddie show. And now I'm like, oh no, I don't think I'm going to let my children watch this
give
show.
Them something wholesome like Bane comics where they can.
At least they know, right? It's just strength and endurance,
yeah.
and it's
thank you.
Not like messed up imagination.
Start with
but...
the being the prison years,
yeah.
you know,
yes.
to really
right.
go over this
right.
childlike lessons
don't
he learned.
You might wind up in this prison with flooding and
yeah.
that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Just
yeah.
don't let them read it when they're 8 years old.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
the
a
teddy
bad
bear, the teddy bear with a knife in it that
yeah.
Bane
right.
has a toy.
Yeah, so like
that's a big seller
almost,
on Amazon.
My almost
right
2 year old shouldn't be like paying attention to any of this right
that's
now. Right, yeah. Although my child in the womb just heard everything.
Yeah, and we're sorry about that.
Yeah, we can't protect that one. I'm sorry.
You know, it's all about the children. Ali, thank you so much for being on the show. You were fantastic.
Thank you for having
you
me.
Brought a lot of awesomeness to the show. And by the way, great decision. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
Okay. If you want to find my crazy self, you can find me at Ali Levine Design, A-L-I-L-E-V-I-N-E, design, all one word, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, anywhere you really type in my handle. AliLevine.com is my website, my podcast, anywhere you can find a podcast where, of course, you guys listen to these crazy guys, Stripped Down with Ali Levine, STRIPTD, playing off of course, being stripped on Bravo. And really, I mean, I hate saying this, but if you just Google Ali Levine, you'll find lots of fun stuff on me.
Oh, goodness.
I did.
Did
when
you?
I heard you were coming
yeah,
on the
so
show.
He knows.
I do. It's an interesting deep dive. All right. Ray, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray. And thank you very much for coming and being a part of the show. The judges, every single time, and you are no exception, will express how difficult these decisions are.
Yeah.
So it is very easy to make the wrong decision. And I forgive you. I forgive you. It's okay. I got nothing more to add to that. Almighty Ray, people on Twitter, you've seen what happened. You saw my clearly superior argument. Come commiserate with me. Hashtag Ray was robbed. We know it's coming.
Here we go.
We know it's happening.
There's a hashtag.
It's going to happen this time.
Yeah, it's used by all his fans, so like five times.
Get it out. Hashtag Ray was robbed.
Definitely. Yeah. Hashtag Allie is wise. Hashtag Allie is awesome. Hashtag Allie made Ray cry. You can find me posing my patent question of the day on Twitter and on Instagram at James Gabs. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win _ show, and check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our podcast episodes. On behalf of myself, Race Decanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.